Specialization in the private equity industry has become part and parcel of its growth. Almost half of the roughly $785 billion raised for private equity strategies last year was for non-buyout strategies. The increase of specialist funds within the PE industry was a topic I asked Scott Nuttall, co-CEO of KKR, in a fireside chat at PEI's Nexus 2024 conference in Orlando, Florida, earlier this year. Nuttall said that KKR, which has 9 different private equity strategies, will adapt to its LP's needs when it comes to launching more specialist products, and specifically about the proliferation of specialist funds focusing on, say, tech, healthcare, impact, and others. Nuttall said he thought it was wonderful that the industry continues to evolve in this way so that he and his firm can continue to provide different avenues for returns for investors. So, if you're a GP wondering whether to launch a new specialized strategy, what should you be thinking about? I'm Adam Lay, a senior editor based in London, and in this episode of Spotlight, I'll be sharing part of a conversation I had with Richard Anthony, CEO of investment bank Evercore's Private Funds Group. Richard spends his days assisting his GP clients on their fundraisers and strategies. I was catching up with Richard to discuss the evolution of the placement agent model, and we happened to discuss what happens when a GP client wants to launch a new strategy, focusing on a particular niche area or asset class. Here's a snippet from our conversation, which includes his top advice for GPs looking to launch what he refers to as ancillary strategies.
For us, the key is it has to start with existing support. And I think where some GPs have gone wrong in the past is they've assumed because they're a very strong brand that they can just go and raise any strategy they like. And that's wrong, because an LP who may have backed them for years because of their prowess in mid-market buyout, that does not translate to the fact that they're just going to assume that they're going to be really good in credit or really good in infrastructure. And so I would say the most important aspect is the existing investors need to be part of the journey from the beginning. And if you've got that support and they feel like you have the credibility to operate in a new space, then you're likely to be successful. You may even be able to bring in some new investors as well on top of that. But the market, certainly over the last 15 years, is almost littered with successful GPs they've had unsuccessful ancillary fundraisers. And I think in the majority of cases, you can point it straight back to the fact they'd assumed their LPs were going to be excited about this without actually doing the work. And suddenly they've launched the fund and the existing LPs haven't turned up.
But that must be really difficult for somebody in your position. So you have a long-standing client who's saying, you know, Richard, we really want to raise a credit fund, for example, and then you go and do your homework and speak to the market and you come back and say, actually, we don't think you should. I mean, that's a really tough thing to tell a client, isn't it?
If you're genuinely in partnership with these groups and you know, not making light of that word, it's a real thing. Trusted advisor, the clue's in the word trust. And we'll always take the long-term view on this, right? And I can think of an example where we've been paid by GPs to advise them not to do something because we've done our work, right? And we've gone into the market on their behalf. And, you know, there's ways we can do this which are very, very under the radar. And have been able to come back and say, do you know what? Your brand is too valuable, it's too strong, it's likely to be damaged by doing this. And it's either this isn't the time to be doing it, or this is maybe the wrong strategy for you to do. Or in some cases, our advice would be stick with what you're doing so well and just keep growing that. So I think back again to your question, is it hard to have those conversations if a GP has got excited about the idea, maybe even resourced it,
right,
which we've had that situation? Yes, but in my mind, that's what a quality advisor does. That's what an advisor is. It's back to the point, Adam, if we're just telling them what they want to hear, I think I want to do something else for a living. That's sort of
fair
not
enough
who I want to be.
So in the case where you go to back to the client and say, actually, we don't think this is a great idea, and they perhaps go away and think about it and think, no, actually, this is really something we want to do, what happens in that case? Do you continue to advise them? Do you say, sorry, this is where we part ways?
Yeah, that's, I'm trying to think if we've really had that scenario play out, Adam. I would say where that has played out is not with existing relationships, but with prospective GPs. For example, we've done a reasonable amount in credit. So we will often get approached by GPs in the buyout space who are interested in going into credit. And we may have had the view that we don't think that's such a good idea. And then they've gone on and done it. That's okay. So we've definitely walked away from lots of opportunities over the years where we could have potentially helped them on a credit fund or an infrastructure fund. I mean, lots of that. I would say with our partnerships, the groups that we're working with on a regular basis, I think they trust us and they know that I mean, it's almost to your point, Adam, if you think about it, it's completely counterintuitive for us to try and dissuade them from doing something that we actually think is a good idea, because that's a revenue opportunity for us as well. And so I can't think of an instance right now where one of our existing relationships has then gone ahead and done it. We had an existing relationship that wanted to do a fund that was purely going to be taking stakes in continuation vehicles that they were executing on. And we worked with them on the idea of, look, we like the idea of an ancillary strategy, but just dedicated to that, we're not sure is such a good idea. However, if you expand the remit to do some of your small cap deals that you're no longer allowed to do, which you've been excellent at doing, and maybe some structured debt deals as well, and so on and so forth. Mm. So it's a broader platform. We think that'll be more attractive.
Mm. Like a kind of special ops.
Yeah, special ops, exactly, structured fund, right. Opportunities, okay. whatever you want to call it. And that's been successful. So this started out with an idea and, you know, it's iterative and it's something we've worked on together. But that would always be how we'd want to approach ancillary funds.
That's all for today. As always, you can subscribe to PEI Group Spotlight Series wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Adam Lay. Thanks for listening.